So first of all, many thanks to Barbara and Nicolas for the invitation to participate in this workshop. As you can guess from the title, I intend to give an overview on the benefits for seismic tomography of reviving good old Backus-Gilbert inverse theory. So let's start by looking at, for example, 3D shear wave velocity variations in the mid-lower mantle, as revealed by a range of global scale tomographic models. Despite the fact that models differ, at least on short wavelengths, the assessment of their resolution and uncertainty has often been ignored or given minimal treatment in traditional tomographic studies based on damp least squares inversions. However, interpreting physical processes such as slabs or plumes based on models without accurate resolution and uncertainty analysis remains a hazardous endeavor. Therefore, in my view, we should aim at building a new generation of tomographic models systematically accompanied with resolution and uncertainty information. And for that aim, I propose to take advantage of the Sola-Backus-Gilbert inversion method that I have recently introduced to seismic tomography, and this is the main topic of this talk. So first, the Sola-Backus-Gilbert approach is limited to solving linear or linearized tomographic problems of this general form, as you can see, where in the notations, D stands for the data, for example, S-wave time residuals, K stands for the data sensitivity kernels, M denotes the continuous true Earth model, for example, 3D VS anomalies, and N represents the noise component. Nevertheless, there are plenty of linear or linearized problems that one can face in seismic tomography. Backus-Gilbert inverse theory was developed in the late 60s for linear geophysical data. And as we shall see, the Sola-Backus-Gilbert method was developed later and simply is a slight variant of Backus-Gilbert theory. In one word, Backus-Gilbert theory aims at determining optimally localized averages over the continuous true Earth model, as sketched on the right. More precisely, Backus-Gilbert theory is well suited to answer questions of the form, what is the average value and the attached uncertainty of velocity anomalies within some localized volume in the Earth's interior? And clearly, this makes more sense than attempting to estimate the true model value at a specific location, as is sketched on the left. Moreover, unlike traditional damp least squares inversions, Backus-Gilbert theory carefully avoids using any a priori information on the model parameters that could bias the inferences to be drawn from the data. In the following, I'd like to recap a few key points about Backus-Gilbert inverse theory in the context of seismic tomography. First, consider some point of interest, the white cross on the left. The index K in the notations refers to such a point of interest. In Backus-Gilbert theory, we explicitly seek a model estimate, M hat K in the notations, which represents a local weighted average over the continuous true Earth model, M. This averaging process takes place with an averaging kernel, AK in the notation, that we wish to be optimally localized around the point of interest, as is illustrated on the left. So it's this. As we face a linear problem, we can seek the estimate, M hat K, as a linear combination of the data, where the coefficients XK, emphasized in red, represent some generalized inverse operator. If the data statistics are known, and here we assume zero mean Gaussian noise, then the statistics of the error in the local average estimate can be calculated easily with the formula on the right, this one. In other words, sigma m hat k represents the uncertainty attached to the local average estimate, and this uncertainty merely describes the propagation of data noise into model space. In the following, keep in mind that from the generalized inverse coefficients, in red on that slide, one can directly infer the local average estimate and its attached uncertainty and the corresponding averaging kernel. And note that the averaging kernel results from a linear combination of data sensitivity kernels, as illustrated on the right here. So finally, the cornerstone of Backus-Gilbert theory consists in solving for the generalized inverse coefficients themselves, such that they lead to the most peak-shaped averaging kernel picked around the point of interest, while moderating at most the noise effect on the local average estimate. In other words, the cost function to be minimized in Backus-Gilbert theory reflects the trade-off between resolution and uncertainty, and this trade-off is illustrated here. In the following, keep also in mind that resolution is related to the size of the averaging kernel, and uncertainty describes the noise effect on the local average estimate. For tomographic applications, we may want to invert for several points of interest, spanning some region in the Earth's interior, as you can see on the left. It may then be useful to visualize such a collection of local averages as a conventional tomographic image, as shown on the right. Resolution and uncertainty informations should then be carefully analyzed when interrogating such an image. But this may not be an easy task to figure out if a given feature in the image is robust, in particular when local resolution spatially varies a lot. Unfortunately, when the number of seismic data exploded in tomographic studies, many seismologists subsequently found Backus-Gilbert theory too computationally intensive as well as impractical. Therefore, Backus-Gilbert theory has been woefully underused in tomographic applications over the past 50 years. However, a variant of Backus-Gilbert theory has lived on in astronomy, the SOLA method, first proposed by Pischpers and Thomson in the early 90s for solving 1D helioseismic inversions. And SOLA stands for Subtractive Optimally Localized Averages. The key idea of the SOLA method is to specify an a priori target form, TK in the notations, for each averaging kernel, AK. That yellow disk that you can see represents such a target form, which we refer to as a target averaging kernel, or target kernel for short. In other words, some a priori information is specified on local model resolution, which is fundamentally different from specifying a priori information on the model itself. Finally, the SOLA variant leads to a new compromise between favoring the averaging kernel to be the closest possible to its target kernel, while, again, moderating at most the noise effect on the local average estimate. This trade-off is handled via a trade-off parameter, eta k, in the notations, as illustrated on the right. The SOLA method retains all the advantages of Backus-Gilbert theory, but is more computationally efficient and versatile in the construction of the local averages, since target averaging volumes can be specified. My own contribution is to have introduced and adapted the SOLA method for solving large-scale, linear, or linearized, discrete and continuous tomographic problems, which I like to refer to as SOLA-Backus-Gilbert tomography, or solar tomography for short. To illustrate solar tomography in a discrete framework, consider the toy problem on the left. Model parameters represent S-wave velocity perturbations within every pixel. Data represent S-wave time residuals. Ray paths are straight lines between pairs of black dots. And ray density is plotted on the left using a logarithmic color scale. So pay attention to the fact that here you have unidirectional rays. So using the solar method, we aim at estimating a local average around each pixel. For simplicity reasons, but also because it works well in practice, the shape of target kernels is imposed to be circular and their size to be driven by ray density, since ray density is, at first order, a proxy for local resolution. And examples of solar target kernels are shown on the right. So the true model is displayed at the bottom left. This is just some Gaussian random field. The left column shows three solar models obtained from using different resolution uncertainty trade-off parameters. And the target kernels here are kept the same for the three models. For this toy problem, each solar model can be decomposed into the sum of two images. The first image reflects the averaging process, and the second image reflects noise contamination. This allows us to visualize that well-known trade-off between resolution and uncertainty. Note that solar Backus-Gilbert tomography allows a direct control on resolution and uncertainty, since we can choose the target kernels and trade-off parameters. Finally, solar tomography provides a wealth of information, as illustrated here. So the local average estimates with their corresponding uncertainties and averaging kernels. And you can see three examples of averaging kernels here. All these informations should then be carefully analyzed to infer some robust properties of the true model. How does solar tomography compare with traditional damped least squares tomography? In the following, DLS means damped least squares. Sticking with the toy problem, three DLS models are shown here. They correspond to different levels of trade-off between data misfit on the x-axis and model norm on the y-axis. Favoring models with a low degree of complexity, as measured by the L2 norm, is an example of adding ad hoc, non-physical, a priori constraints on the model itself. For comparison, the previous three solar models are displayed. We can also see where they lie in this diagram in terms of data misfit and model norm, so with these blue squares. So we can see that solar models can fit data as well as DLS models, and DLS models suffer from enhanced smearing effects in regions of poor data illumination. So as you can see, here you have more smearing effects where ray paths were quasi-unidirectional than in the solar model, for instance. Moreover, the solar approach is extremely well-suited for parallel computation, since each point of interest is treated independently from the others. Thus, solar may be more efficient than DLS for computing generalized inverse operators, which are required to infer resolution and uncertainty informations. Furthermore, from the formulation of the solar minimization problem, it is also possible to constrain solar models such that they represent unbiased local averages. However, DLS models, damped least squares models, can be locally biased towards lower or higher amplitudes. This bias is related to adding ad hoc non-physical regularization constraints on the model, such as model norm damping, to remove the non-uniqueness of the least squares solution. That averaging bias may preferentially occur in regions of poor data illumination. For example, on the left column are shown two input models. The first one takes place in the Earth mantle, and the second one corresponds to the toy problem setting. On the middle column are shown two output damply squares models. Here, the noise effect is ignored for simplicity reason, so that only the effect of limited resolution can be observed. The first output DLS model was obtained using the actual resolution operator of global model S40 RTS, which is based on surface wave, body wave, and normal mode data. Clearly, we can see that these two output DLS models are locally biased towards higher amplitudes. For the global scale example, that bias occurs right below isolated receivers, as you can see, beneath Hawaii, Tahiti. So why? Because body wave ray pairs are quasi-vertical. Amplitudes are locally enhanced up to 50% higher values, which creates these artificial hotspot-like features that you can see on the cross-section. This raises the following question: what is the actual imprint of the bias effect on model S40 RTS below isolated receivers? That is, the bias effect also depends on the actual true Earth model, which obviously we don't know. And of course, we can ask the same question for other global scale models. Similarly, for the toy problem, that bias occurs in the bottom right corner, here where ray paths are also quasi-unidirectional. For the toy problem, also, we can see that the output solar model on the right is almost free of averaging bias effect as expected. So, as you can see here. So, since uneven data coverage prevails in tomographic studies from local to global scale, averaging bias effects in damply squares models should be systematically investigated for. Last but not least, in the continuous solar tomographic method, the model space can retain its infinite dimensional nature, and a specific model parameterization never be introduced. And that nice clone on the left represents the continuous model space, and on the right, you can see what would happen to that clone if he was discretized. Therefore, numerically accurate data sensitivity kernels can be effectively exploited in continuous solar tomography, while this is not often the case in discrete tomographic studies, because the number of model parameters has to be limited to keep the computational cost tractable, in particular if one aims at computing the damply squares generalized inverse, which I remind you is required to infer resolution and uncertainty informations. Note that fully exploiting data sensitivity kernels is very important, for example, for finite frequency imaging purposes, as illustrated here with a finite frequency S-wave data kernel. However, since the computational cost of continuous solar tomography grows as a function of the number of data squared, it may be better suited to handle moderate-sized datasets typically encountered in regional scale tomography, unless one has access to HPC facilities. In the recent years, discrete and continuous solar tomography have been successfully applied to various seismic datasets from local or regional to global scale, including surface wave, body wave, and normal mode data. And here, you can see three examples of solar models obtained by MSc and PhD students that I have co-supervised. For example, that global scale model of VS anomalies was obtained from jointly inverting body wave time residuals and normal mode structure coefficients using the discrete solar framework. And to give you an idea, with 300,000 data and 40,000 model parameters, it took a few days of computation on a regular PC. Finally, I'd like to focus on tomographic geodynamic model comparisons, which are a key component in studies of the present-day state and evolution of Earth's mantle. In this context, tomographic filtering of geodynamic models is a standard processing step to account for the limited resolution of tomographic models. However, an important aspect that has so far not been taken into account are the effects of seismic data uncertainties. And my colleagues and I have recently demonstrated a new method for tomographic filtering in which it is possible to account for the effects of seismic noise. And solar tomography is well suited for this method, since it requires the explicit knowledge of generalized inverse operators of tomographic models, as illustrated on this slide. So say that we aim at comparing this geodynamic model with this tomographic model. So firstly, synthetic seismic data, for example, finite frequency S-wave time residuals, are calculated in the geodynamic model, to which are then added some random noise, reflecting our knowledge on the statistics of seismic data uncertainties. Secondly, by applying the generalized inverse on the synthetic data, we obtain the output geodynamic model to be compared to the tomographic model. For more details on this method, in particular, how it could be useful in view of geodynamic inversions that aim at retrodicting past mantle evolution based on tomographic images, I encourage you to visit Roman Freisler, a PhD student in Munich, in the poster session. To conclude, even if it is limited to linear or linearized problems, tomographic problems, the Solabacus-Gilbert method is a promising new old tool for seismologists and geodynamists. To summarize, it can help building a new generation of global-scale tomographic models of the Earth's mantle, such that models are accompanied with resolution and uncertainty informations, on which we have direct control, and they can be free of averaging bias effects and still fit the data. Plus, since it is possible to avoid model space parameterization, models can also benefit from fully exploiting data sensitivity kernels. And finally, it has proven a natural framework for tomographic geodynamic comparisons. So I stop there. Many thanks for your attention, and of course, questions are welcome.